Welcome to my Plant Medicine Journey podcast. This is Daniel Rios Romero. And today I have the privilege to interview my friend Taylor. I met Taylor down in Austin at a little community event. And I was out there strumming on the ukulele. And she was talking about how she wanted to get into it. So she picked it up, taught her a couple of chords, and she was playing I'm Yours in a couple of minutes. Since then, we stayed connected through the IGs, and we have a lot of mutual friends out in the Austin area. And I gathered a few of them to come down to Monterrey, Mexico, and hang out with my friend Dulce. And she was being called at the time to find herself some teachers down in Latin America. And she came out with a journey leading to the journey. She had a bit of a tough drive from Austin there. But when she got there, we stepped in right away to a very profound cacao ceremony from some of my friends and teachers and two people that Taylor got to work with. I'm sure we'll talk about them today on the show. And she's really just been devoting herself and working with cacao. And cacao is a beautiful medicine that doesn't get enough attention, but it can really teach people how to work with intention, ceremony, and dive into your heart to find answers and understanding. So, Taylor, so happy to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danny. I'm so happy to be here and be able to talk about this beautiful medicine. It's really become a staple of my life over the past year.
I know it's, I love going to your IG and watching you either, prepping people for a journey or you talk about cacao and intentions. And, you know, I've met other people that work with cacao, and the way you're devoting yourself to the practice, it's so beautiful to see and whatnot. But I would love to learn more about you, who you are, and how you came into the world of like plant medicine, even before cacao.
Yeah. Wow. Where to begin? Who I am. So I think a few things that are important to note kind of in my journey, which really my journey with plant medicine has just been in the past, let's say, 2 years. Not that seasoned in it, as far as length of time goes, but I was really deep into the Christian world at the time. I kind of got into Christianity at a later age, around the age of 18, and then 2 years ago at 28, kind of made my way out of the Christian church after starting to really allow myself to doubt for the first time, allow myself to question, open myself up to new perspectives, and plant medicines were a huge part of that for me. And about 2 years ago, made my way out of the Christian church and made my way out of a marriage as well that was really just connected to the Christianity piece, and kind of started on this whole journey of self-exploration for what felt like the first time. And like I said, just opening myself up to new community, to new ideas, to new experiences. And through that process over the past 2 years, have felt way more connected to God, the infinite, the divine, than I ever have before. So it's been really a beautiful journey.
How's that transition for you? Those, you know, it's a lot of things you're adding to your lifestyle and removing. Mm-hmm. How have you dealt with those, and how have you experienced them?
Yeah, you know, it's been surprisingly smooth. You know, if I tell people, oh yeah, I left a religion and I left a marriage of 4 years and started introducing plant medicines into my body and opening my consciousness, it feels like it would be a lot. And of course it was, you know, if you look at the big picture, it does seem like a lot, but it felt natural in my body and in my psyche and in my heart the entire time. And I think that's what kept me on this path and made those transitions quite smooth. At least that's how it felt at the time.
Gotcha. That's good to hear, because you know, I often hear a lot of stories when people are stepping away from religious communities, and there's a lot of shame and a lot of guilt. And so I'm happy to hear you've had smooth transitions. And and this awakening, this exploratory phase of your life, you know, what's some of the work you've done that led you to the conversation of cacao today?
Yeah. Well, and I will say, as smooth as it was, I definitely did process a lot of grief. And, you know, that was kind of ongoing through the past 2 years. And obviously grief still comes up in a matter of different ways. But yeah, I would say a lot of the work, some with plant medicines, some not, it really has a lot to do with community. But one of the first things I did coming out of the Christian church and coming out of that marriage was to seek out therapy with psilocybin and MDMA. And ended up doing a therapy session. And just in one session with the MDMA and the psilocybin, I was able to really rewrite a lot of the narratives and stories that I'd picked up from my time in the church that didn't sit well in my body and in my heart, and was able to process a lot of the shame and guilt I was feeling kind of from the masculine side of things coming out of the marriage. So that was a huge kind of launching point to this period of exploration. And I think from there, like I said, it had a lot to do with community and just opening myself up to people that, yeah, were on different pathways, and people that were really, really loving. Sometimes I think it's some of the like most loving people I've come across in my whole life.
Gotcha.
That's been a huge part. Yeah.
And, you know, for you know, a lot of people who are going through this stage of their life that are looking for community, find it. And I remember going through this phase as well, and I was just saying yes to a lot of things. But any recommendations that you have for people who are seeking to, like, change the average of people they hang out with, build a community, anything from your that aspect of your journey? Because I think that's, you know, community is as important as anything. So I would love to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there definitely sometimes it is called for this stage of saying yes to, you know, many things or everything, kind of like you touched on. But I think a big point for me was, and I think, you know, available to everyone, is really learning my yeses and my nos. And for me, I feel them really deeply in my body. And that wasn't always the case. It was kind of a learning curve of learning what a yes felt like in my body, what a no felt like in my body. And that can apply to many different things in life. So whether or not you're deciding about going on an experience, or whether or not you're deciding, you know, to spend time with a certain person or get to know a certain person better, really understanding the body's divine intelligence and your, you know, natural intuition. And like I said, learning those yeses and nos, and then it just becomes a point of actually being able to apply them. So then we get more into the, you know, how do you speak your truth? How do you use your voice, which is a journey in and of itself.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I know that definitely is going to land for a lot of people who are in that transition of their life. So you go into some therapy work, some guided therapy. What your life starts being very different from there. Please tell us more.
Yes, life became very different from there. And yeah, like I said, just started opening myself up to new experiences. And one of those experiences was ending up going to Monterey with you guys. And it was a really funny way of how I got there in more ways than one. And I think it's important to note that, you know, for whoever's listening, it might sound a little weird or different or woo-woo, but leading up to saying yes to this, you know, retreat, this time in Mexico with you all, I was starting to experience just some dis-ease in my body, mostly in my belly. And of course, you know, dealing with a lot of transitions and changes and highs and lows during this time, but I was really kind of honed in and focused on something happening in my belly that didn't feel right, and spoke with some different healers and teachers and just people that I trust, and ended up getting several confirmations that I was just carrying some sort of energy. Some people called it an entity that wasn't serving me. You know, it wasn't necessarily negative, but it wasn't serving me. And I remember specifically talking to a woman, and she said that this energy or entity, whatever we want to name it, would respond well to heat. And I remember talking to you and still unsure of whether or not I want to go to Mexico, because I honestly didn't really know you or anybody. That was going super well at the time, and it was out of my comfort zone to say yes to something like that. And I remember asking you, you know, will there be a sweat lodge, a temezcal? And you said yes, and that was the deciding factor for me. Okay, I was like, great, I'll be there. This thing is really throwing me for a loop. I want to sweat this thing out. Cacao wasn't even really on my radar at the time. So it was just a really, you know, beautiful confirmation for me that a lot of times things that are leading us down a certain path lead us to something totally different and expand us and open us up to way more possibilities than we can even imagine at the time of saying yes to something. And so that was the case for me, getting myself to Monterrey. And like you said, it was quite a journey for Chris and I to get down there, which made it even more hilarious and even better of a story and an experience for myself.
Gotcha. Yeah, I love that you follow the heat and that guided you to a different medicine. And the people that that led that ceremony, I met him a few years ago in a cacao ceremony, and I was blown away from that experience. And so for me, having special people in my life come and have that experience, it's super cool, because you know, I haven't said in a ceremony that you lead. Everybody puts their own medicine. But what they're able to combine together is something very profound. And I know we'll go deeper into that ceremony itself. But yeah, I would love to hear about, like, you know, how that weekend unfolded for you, and what led, you know, what did the heat actually work, and because I actually don't know this, and would love to learn more about how you. Just why you dove deeper to cacao and all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, kind of like we touched on the heat, the idea of, you know, heat kind of acting on this negative energy that I was carrying was the driving factor of me going down to Mexico and with you guys. And yeah, it was quite a journey to get there. Chris and I ran into some trouble. It took way longer than we thought it was going to take, turned around a couple of times. And I think we both just knew that we were supposed to be there, and we just, you know, believed it in our hearts and our minds, and somehow ended up in Monterrey with all of you guys. And I think it was, we didn't have much time to kind of settle in right before going into the cacao ceremony. And I remember hitting a bag and not realizing that maybe it was not just tobacco. And you know, I was coming off a kind of a crazy drive down there, not really feeling comfortable with, you know, my level of how much I knew everybody there. And then, perhaps, you know, took part in a little cannabis, you know, unknowingly, and then was even more ungrounded. And so I was just basically floating.
That is not the first time that has happened, so I'm not surprised. What she means by bags is volcano vaporized herbs.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, yes. What was she talking about hitting this bags?
Yes. And so I just kind of floated into that cacao ceremony. And I remember thinking and just feeling so much anxiety going into it. Because again, I wasn't with, you know, you have your people. And at the time I wasn't with my people, at least didn't feel like it quite at the time. And, yeah, had a lot of anxiety.
You became my people when we shared that ukulele. So I was like, we're good.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And, which I still play, by the way. I've been learning more songs throughout the past few months.
Awesome. So. let's jam out soon.
I would love that. I would love that. But yeah, so that's kind of the state I was entering into that cacao ceremony that first night that we were all together. And with Carlos and Michelle. And I think it was like a 3-hour cacao ceremony. I didn't even really keep track of the time, but like you said, just the way that they weave everything together is really beautiful and really magical. And I remember it was within, you know, a few minutes of drinking the cacao really and listening to their voices, their instruments, just their direction of our bodies. I felt like I was coming home for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it felt like in my body. And it's interesting because I thought that the heat, the temezcal, which we did towards the end of our time there in Mexico, I thought that was going to be the thing that moved this, you know, we'll call it negative energy that I was holding on to. And it was actually that very first cacao ceremony that moved it. And so it was a really eye-opening experience for me into how energetic of a medicine cacao can be.
So this whole time it has been internal heat, not external.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. And you know, talking back to this like negative energy, this, you know, and we can get woo in that space too.
Yeah.
But it's something that, you know, I experienced, before I got into this more mystical spaces of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it's just, you know, you feel this like stuckness.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like what I could describe it now as like energy blockage. Like you just feel something stuck and heavy. How are you experiencing that like physically, and how did that change after this cacao ceremony?
Yeah. I mean, physically I was feeling a lot of it in my actual belly. And so it kind of, like you said, felt like sort of a heaviness, and just uneasiness there in my belly. And, it almost felt like I couldn't quite concentrate or couldn't quite feel the joy that I wanted to feel, because once I had an awareness of that energy block or that, you know, excess energy that wasn't mine, it was all I could put my awareness on. And so it took up a lot of my capacity to experience, you know, outside of that energetic block.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I could explain in words what happened during that cacao ceremony to move that energy. But all I know is I walked in with all of that anxiety and, you know, unsteadiness, and something magical transpired over that 3 to 4 hours. And then I walked out feeling like I was home, like I was with family, like energy was moving swiftly in my body. It was just really beautiful.
Beautiful. And I mean, now that we're in the cacao topic, and I know a little bit after that, Michelle and Carlos were hosting a class on working with cacao.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've been deep in that space working with cacao. I would love to hear it from you, like about the medicine, about, you know, some of the science that is known behind it, some of the history, whatever you got. You know, I know people would love to learn more about this beautiful medicine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like you said, Carlos and Michelle, before we even left Mexico, mentioned they were running an online course, and I think I signed up for it before I even left Mexico, and it started about a month later. So I ended up doing, I believe it was about 2.5 month training with them and a few other people as well. And it was just the most beautiful 2.5 months because, you know, we hopped on ceremony led by them once a week, and it was like a 2-hour ceremony even online every week, and they all had different themes to them, and they taught us so much, like you said, on the science behind it, even, you know, ethical farming and production of cacao, and all of the synergistic medicines that go along with it. And yeah, it was just really, really, really eye-opening. And I mean, to dive into a little bit of background to cacao, I think the Mayans started drinking cacao in about 600 AD, and the Aztecs after that started producing these large cacao farms in Mexico. So at one point, I think about 97% of the cacao came from Mexico, whereas now we see it produced all over the world. But yeah, cacao, it goes from the tree to the fruit, to the pod, to the seeds, and then the seeds are fermented and roasted, and then they're ground into a paste. And that's what we have as this, we'll call it ceremonial grade cacao, which is a big difference between that and a lot of the chocolate that we might eat or see kind of in stores today, which go through a different processing. But yeah, the cacao, you know, plant is amazing for you from a medicinal standpoint. The thing I always like to touch on, because we even talked about it earlier, the difference between, you know, the external heat and the internal heat is cacao, when you drink it, it is a vasodilator. And so what that means is it opens up your blood vessels. And so people talk about cacao opening your heart, and it legitimately does from a scientific and medicinal standpoint, is it dilates the blood vessels. And so blood can move a lot more freely, which means liquid in your body can move a lot more freely. And a lot of times we carry so much of our emotions in the liquids in our body. So if you think about purging through sweat or through tears, that's a lot of emotions or energy that we're able to release. And cacao can help us get there because it opens us up. And then, you know, also, you know, from a medicinal standpoint, there are just so many beautiful minerals and just so many beautiful, I want to say, I'm blanking on the word, but just so many beautiful things in cacao. And one of the things that I always love to touch on is that cacao carries naturally what we call the bliss molecule, which is PEA. And this bliss molecule is actually released highest in humans during orgasm. And so this exists within cacao, which again kind of points to the love, the heart opening that you might experience when drinking cacao.
That is awesome information. I didn't know about the last aspect of was it a hormone? What exactly happens with that?
Yeah, they call it the bliss molecule. It's PEA. You know, I might butcher how it's actually pronounced, but it's like phenylethylamine. So it's just one of those molecules, chemicals that naturally gets released in the body. And causing that blissful, that love feeling. And so that's in cacao. And again, along with minerals, antioxidants, so many things that are really helpful for the body. Actually, you know, just speaking on it medicinally, my dad was struggling with high blood pressure, and he's been struggling for a while, talked about not wanting to go on medication. And when I went home for Christmas, I brought him a bunch of cacao, and I said, let's drink cacao every day together, and we'll check your blood pressure and see if it goes down. And within like 3 to 4 days, it was going down steadily every single day that we drank cacao. And so,
that is beautiful.
Yeah. It was really, he drinks it every day now, which is just, really lights up my heart. So
that's awesome. Yeah. And, you know, another thing about, cacao, it works really well and combined with, other plant medicines like, mushrooms.
Yes.
And yeah, if you could tell more about that, I believe, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correct, theobromine, is that, the compound that makes everything more leaky. But if you have more info about that, that'd be great to learn.
Yeah, so theobromine is kind of the stimulant in cacao, and it's not like caffeine in the sense, but it is a stimulant in the body. But yeah, like you said, cacao is really, really synergistic with a lot of medicines, and pretty traditionally cacao was drank by the Mayans, the Aztecs, often in ceremony in tandem with psilocybin. And so those two medicines work really beautifully together. And you know, there's a lot of Mayan and Aztec mythology that kind of goes into that. But you know, later on down the road, I think it was an Englishman kind of classified cacao. Once he discovered it, classified it, and he classified it as theobroma, which translates to food of the gods. And he classified it as that because of all the beautiful qualities that exist within cacao.
Beautiful. I did not know that story. Yeah. Thank you for all the knowledge.
You're welcome.
And, you know, it's, for me, working in this space and how it's shown up for me, it's like all of my talents, gifts that came from my challenges, all my experience, just starts showing me my path, and I start putting a little bit of energy into it, and it gives me a response and whatnot. But for a lot of people, it can be difficult to go from like, hey, I want to work with a specific plant or in the healing space. You know, a lot of imposter syndrome, I imagine, comes up. I know it has for me at times. And so, you know, it's, for me also, I'm going through my journey of working with, my own, my own medicines. I'm having my own experience, and I'm still like out there, stepping into this space. For you, I would love to hear how has this evolution of all your abilities that you have, your nursing background, all that you bring into the medicine that you serve, how has that process just been for you? And we'd love to learn about that and like how you work with it and what your plans are with it.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, the imposter syndrome is real. It's very real when you start to hold this kind of space, I think, for most people. But yeah, it's definitely been a journey of actually leaving my nursing career, which I did back in October of 2021. And I think even going into nursing, you know, at the age of 18, going into that study, that track, I always had this desire to serve people and to be in a healing role for people, to be able to help people during really, you know, tough times, during really vulnerable times that they might be going through. And I got myself into the line of oncology nursing, which is for cancer patients and mostly focused on leukemia and lymphoma. And then the last 3 years I was working with breast cancer patients. And as much as I loved that work and being, you know, there for people in that capacity, I just quickly started to notice in the last year that the medical system, kind of as it stood, was not really feeling aligned anymore with the direction I was going. And that was a huge driver in me starting to work with plant medicines myself and getting myself into the state where I could facilitate these types of medicines for other people, because I saw, you know, the huge benefits in them, like I touched on earlier, medicinally for a lot of plant medicines, and then also emotionally, spiritually. You know, you're looking at the holistic picture, the holistic version of a person, and touching on all of those aspects whenever you're holding this kind of space for them. And so I think between my nursing background, one, just being able to have the knowledge too of the medical side of things, and being able to, I think just have that background really has helped me a lot. And then also, you know, have studied in different areas as well. I got my yoga teacher training certification a couple years ago. And so that taught me a lot on, you know, the body and movement and mindful movement, and then also how to facilitate a class or a space for a group of people. And so all of that's really gone into kind of how I work with the medicine now. And, you know, more than anything else, the more that I've worked with cacao and any other medicine, but the more that I've worked with cacao, it's become very apparent to me that it is a practice and it is a relationship just like any other. You know, if you have a partner or a friend or a family member, it's a relationship that if you want it to go deeper, you have to foster it and you have to care for it. And so the more that I've worked with cacao, I notice that I'm able to go deeper and deeper and deeper with the medicine itself, both for myself and even for the people that I hold space for. Someone that I hold a ceremony for now, if it's their first time working with cacao, they're probably going to be able to go a lot deeper with the medicine than someone I held ceremony for a few months ago, even. Just because my ability to connect with the medicine, Mama Cacao, and everything that she has to teach us, it's just really, really expanded the more I work with her.
Gotcha. And in the space that, you know, you're facilitating with people, how does that actually look like? Is, you know, are you doing group? Is there work outside of like the ceremony that you do? How have you integrated this practices into providing value for other people?
Yeah, it's really evolved over the past year that I've been working with it. But I definitely do group ceremonies. And then also one of my favorite things to do is offering one-on-one ceremonies. And the reason why I love that so much is because I can get really, really intentional with people, and I can get really, really specific on what their intentions are for ceremony. So then I can even get it down to what type of music should I play? What else should I incorporate in the ceremony, whether it be breath work or some sort of dance or movement? Or do I want to serve them hape along with the cacao? You know, do I read certain poetry over them during ceremony and things like that? So I love being able to get specific with people one-on-one, and it also becomes a much more, for many people, a much more safe place to be really vulnerable, because another thing about cacao is it is a very expressive medicine. And so often I'll lead people through expression, whether that be through, you know, vocal toning or just storytelling, or it could even just be through crying or laughing or screaming, you know, some sort of catharsis. And so, the expressive part of it is really, really joyful for me to see and to lead people through. But yeah, so the one-on-ones I really love, or just the smaller intimate groups. And I usually do work with people a little bit before and a little bit after. Specifically with the one-on-ones, I'll have them kind of drink smaller doses of cacao leading up to ceremony for about a week or two. And through getting introduced to her in that way, a lot of times they'll get more clear on what their actual intentions are, what they want out of this ceremony, or what they want to learn from her. And then I'll get clear on those. We'll have ceremony together, and then I'll follow up for integration afterwards. And the thing I love about cacao, I'll just make a note, is that it is a really beautiful journey and experience, and it is also integration in and of itself. And so we can have integration afterwards, but it's more so just following up. How are you feeling? Has anything else come up since ceremony? But cacao itself can be integration for other medicine journeys, because it's so heart opening. It's so beautiful. It's so in your body, you know.
I've thought of using it that way, and I'm definitely gonna mess with that next time. And you may get a message from me soon.
Yes, please. One of my favorite things that I've done recently, I've started working again a little bit in a nursing capacity at this place called Kuya here in Austin, and it is kind of a combination of a wellness center and a medical clinic for ketamine-assisted psychotherapy. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've been able to do recently was actually run a private cacao ceremony for one of our ketamine clients as part of her integration. And it was just so beautiful to see some of the light bulbs come on of some things that she had come up during her previous ketamine sessions that hadn't really been fully processed yet because it was so in her head or it was so ethereal or so abstract. And then through the process of cacao, which is so earthly, and mm-hmm. like I said, so in the body, for some of it to start making sense. It was really a beautiful experience.
That's awesome to hear. And is this something that, you've learned how to integrate, use cacao for integration, or you discover that? I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah, it's just something that started to make sense to me. You know, it's
gotcha.
I suppose it is something that I learned along the way, because something that I just kind of picked up on is cacao has never, it has never taught me something outside of myself, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. So with a lot of other, you know, medicines, they're so amazing in what mm-hmm. they can show you. And I'll say outside of myself, even though we know nothing is, or I feel like nothing is actually outside of, you know, ourselves. It mm-hmm. all exists, but it feels, like I said, so ethereal or so out there. You know, we're getting images or we're meeting God or we're being shown symbols and things that may not make sense at the time. And those experiences are really amazing. But cacao, it has never shown me anything that is outside of myself. And so it has mm-hmm. only pointed me more towards a remembrance of who I really am and a remembrance mm-hmm. of what actually exists within myself. And so it's shown me more of my own heart. It's shown me more of my own intuition. It's shown me more of my own voice and expression. And so for those reasons, I've found that it's really beautiful tool for integration from other experiences, because it just brings me back to my body and back to a remembrance of my natural state.
I love how deep you've gone with cacao in this short amount of time. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine what you'll know in 5 years. Imagine 10 years.
Yeah.
And some magical stuff, I imagine. Mm-hmm. So you got your papa to sit in a little ceremony every day of his life, is what it sounds like, with cacao. Mm-hmm. If somebody wanted to bring cacao into their practice, how should we do it?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think the biggest thing is to make sure where you're getting cacao from is a good source of ceremonial grade cacao, ethically sourced. And so some cities will have that available to you. Here in Austin, we have a place called Third Eye Cacao and Meditation Lounge, and they have ceremonial grade cacao from several different, you know, points around the world. I personally, for my ceremonies, use either cacao that Carlos and Michelle will send me, so I probably can't really advertise that because I don't know how other people would get that, but their cacao is beautiful. Or I'll use, one of my favorites is Keith's cacao, like the guy's name, mm-hmm. Keith. Keith's cacao, it's from Guatemala, which I've had a beautiful experience with cacao and even learning more about the energetics of it there in Guatemala with Keith. Yeah, his cacao, he has a website, Keith's Cacao, and you can just order it. It will ship all over the world. And I get really specific on my dosing when I drink cacao. And so 40 to mm-hmm. 50 grams would be a ceremonial dose. And then usually 20 to 30 grams, depending on your body weight and your tolerance, would be like a daily dose. So if someone mm-hmm. wanted to start drinking it at home, if you want to weigh it out, I think 30 grams is about 2 tablespoons if you don't have a scale. And mm-hmm. yeah, just start playing with it at home. You can obviously mix in different ingredients. Pretty traditionally, it was drank with cinnamon, actually a little like cayenne pepper. and vanilla, and I will always add honey to mine because I have a bit of a sweet tooth. So, yeah.
Cool. In regards to drinking it, the frequency, do you recommend people drinking it daily, taking some days off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really depends on the person. I drink it almost daily. I'll take a day off here and there, more so just to experience my body and my state of being without it. But I drink it almost daily, so it's definitely safe enough for someone to drink daily. A lot of people actually will start replacing their coffee. If you're a big coffee drinker, they will replace it with cacao because, like I said, it still is a stimulant, but it's not going to be as harsh as the caffeine from a coffee or espresso. And so, yeah, you can drink it daily or a few times a week. And even if you only have, I would say, be intentional with your sipping of it, but even if you only have 5-10 minutes, make your cacao, you know, find a comfy seat, a place in your house that you really love, maybe outside, and just set some intentions with your cacao and sip on it slowly. I love to meditate with it. In the morning, I'll often do hapé and then drink my cacao. And hapé is a type of mapacho tobacco. That's a beautiful combination with cacao as well. But yeah, I think just making sure you take the time to really sit with her and set some intentions with her is really important.
Awesome. That is all really good information, especially if somebody wants to bring this into their journey and develop a relationship to cacao. I know for me, I go in stages of my life where I have it, and then that's typically like how it's been for me with most plant medicines. I work with them, integrate them, then build a relationship to them, and then come back to them as a tool that I know. But for me, I've definitely, you know, took a lot out of how personally I can help other people, like still continue working ceremony. Mm-hmm. And integrating a plant medicine experience, like a psychedelic one, with ongoing with just simply cacao. Mm-hmm. And it sounds amazing. So yeah, I really look forward to, like I said, seeing what you'll create, with this in the future. I think when beautiful knowledge like this lands on the right people like you, that, you know, your life's path of like, being a healer from your nursing background and just your own life, how it leads you to, work with this medicine and create your own medicine through you. So, you know, I appreciate you, taking that risk down to Mexico and saying yes to, crazy adventures in life. And, not officially yet, but I do plan to do another one, later this year, cause, they do magic down there. And so it was great experiencing that. But, yeah, Taylor, anything else you would like to share with, people listening, about cacao, about yourself, about anything, would love to, hear.
Wow. Well, one, I just want to say I appreciate the invitation to Mexico. And so I want to make sure that's said, because it was obviously a beautiful start to my journey with this particular medicine. And yeah, just for anyone, you know, listening and wanting to work with cacao, I would just say if you feel called to it at all, just do it, because she is a master teacher, and she is powerfully gentle and gently powerful, and well worth your, you know, your intentions and your working with her. And I think if you're wanting to dive even a little deeper with cacao, if you've worked with it before, one of the main things that I was taught by Keith, actually, if you're wanting to get into the energetics of cacao, is all we have to do is get out of our own way. And if we get out of our own way, then the energetics of this medicine, of even yourself, will just open up tremendously. And so I'm excited for anybody who's going to start or deepen their journey with this medicine.
Beautiful. And I can't wait to be led through a ceremony by you. That's something that I look forward to. Yeah. And where can people find you? And if they want to work with you, how would that look?
Yeah, absolutely. So probably best way to find me is on Instagram. So I'm ambrose.cacao. So Ambrose being my last name, ambrose.cacao. And through there, you can kind of see some of the posts I've had on cacao. I think one of my posts even shared how to make a cup of cacao at home. And then in the bio, I have my link tree, so you can schedule a call with me, even if you just want to learn more about cacao or if you want to perhaps be led in ceremony. So if, obviously, if you live here in Austin, happy and excited and joyful to do in-person ceremonies. And outside of Austin, I've also led some online ceremonies as well. So I'm open to doing that. So Instagram is definitely the best way to connect.
Awesome. Thank you, Taylor, so much for being part of the show. I hope you guys enjoyed everything that Taylor had to share about cacao. I definitely did. And I know with where she's stepping into and the work that she's doing, we'll have more of these conversations, and I look forward to that. All right, amigos, have a beautiful day. Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you, Danny.
Bye-bye.